بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, there's a deep relationship and a strong one between the Quran and Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan is the month where the Quran was revealed in, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance. And it's a criterion between the evil and the truth, between the wrong and the right. Allah, that's pertaining to the month. In pertaining to the night, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ in Surah Al-Dukhan. We revealed it, we sent it down in a blessed night, which means Laylatul Qadr. And then another verse, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ we sent it down in the night of decree. So is there a discrepancy, a conflict? Two verses saying it was revealed in the night of decree and another one saying it was revealed in the month of Ramadan? Like Orientals claim that there's a discrepancy in this matter. If you go to a Sunan Nasa'i and Al-Hakim, Ibn Abbas said, and also Ibn Jarir said in a different saying, the entire Quran was revealed in night of Laylatul Qadr. And then it was taken down from the seventh heaven to the first heaven closest to us. And over the course of 23 years, it was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The relationship between Ramadan and Quran is deeper than one thinks. You know the famous story we all know when Jibreel alayhi salam went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he grabbed him and he said, Iqra, Iqra. And he scared the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Ishaq and Abu Sulaiman al-Dimashqi and Ibn al-Jawzi and others said that this occurred in Ramadan. It's even deeper than that when you know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to review the Quran with Jibreel every single Ramadan. And twice, the final time, he was living sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jibreel would read and the Prophet listens, or the opposite. And some scholars said this is the time when he would tell him the affirmed and abrogated verses. And it's possible this is the time when he knew and learned the tafsir. Allah sent the best revelation and the best messenger in the best month, in the best night, the night of decree. All that shows you how solid the bond between the Quran and the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. A verse like that, an expression like that, only goes to show you how Quran in Ramadan has a virtue and an excellence unlike any other excellence. That's how our pious predecessors understood it. And that's why in Ramadan they dropped everything for Quran. Most of them even passed their classes of hadith to focus on reading the Quran. But before we mention a glimpse of those legendary men in Ramadan, let us look close at how our pious predecessors were on a normal day. Then we'll give a quick glimpse as to how they were in Ramadan. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash rahimahullah one time pointed to a room in his house and told his family, I read the Quran every day in that room for 60 years. Every day he would finish the Quran in that room for 60 years. When he was on his deathbed, his sister began to cry. She said, why are you crying? You see that corner of the house? Just in that corner, he finished the Quran. He said, I finished the Quran in that corner 18,000 times. Al-Dhahabi, when he talks about him, said, he used to read the Quran every single day once for 40, finish the Quran every day, one time for 40 years, approximately 14,000 times. There's different narration depending on the different circumstances or the settings he was in or talking about. Al-Dhahabi continues on to say the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is not to read the Quran in less than 3 nights. And the sunnah of the Prophet is better to follow. It's really not time to go over the fiqh issue of the permissibility of whether it's permissible to read the Quran in less than 3 to 7 days or not. But there's a hadith disliking and discouraging one to read the Quran in less than 3 days. And another one in less than 7 days. Because the reason is one will not be able to comprehend it. But just as there were some of the Salaf who did not like to finish the Quran in less than 3 to 7 days, there are those who did. And it's a disputed issue. And it's possible for those who say it's impossible. It's possible. However, some of the Salaf And it amazed me when I read this. They had different khitmas of the Quran at the same time. They had one, for example, for speed reading, so they can get reward. So they can get 10 letter deeds per letter. And those ones were about less than 3 days. They'd finish it in less than days, like the ones you hear would finish it every day. But on the same time, parallel to that, they would have an ongoing khitma, that slow recitation, to contemplate and analyze it. And that would sometimes take months, weeks, possibly years. Some of them would have a third parallel khitma to recite the Quran and teach it to their students, which would be slower than the previous two. We don't want to get into that fiqh dispute, since we're now at a level where there are those, sadly, of the ummah who may go an entire lifetime not completing the Quran once. The superb forerunners of the ummah today are those who develop a bond, dusting the Quran off from Ramadan to Ramadan. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi used to finish the Quran every single two days, meaning he'd read every single day half of the Quran. This is not Ramadan we're talking about yet. This is on a normal day of them. How can one abandon reading the Quran when he's abandoning recitation of the Quran, the one that Allah said in it, that the Prophet says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Allah said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, oh my Lord, verily my people deserted this Quran. The Prophet complains and testifies against you who abandoned the book of Allah. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, this is one of the ways that they abandoned the Quran. Abandoning recitation is one of the ways of abandoning the Quran. It's horror and heart melting to even think that you stand before Allah as a defendant with no other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a plaintiff against you, pointing to you and say, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Those who don't know Arabic, and I'm not condoning that, because to a believer in Islam, the language of the Quran is essential for a Muslim's identity. And you can read some of that on Muhsin Khan and Al-Hilali's introduction of the Noble Quran. And even before them, Ibn Taymiyyah, how they stated that Arabic language is an identity. We're against nationalism, but the Arabic language is essential. But assume you don't know Arabic now. In the time you're trying to learn it, don't abandon the Quran in English. You're not going to get the same reward, 10 deeds per letter, but inshallah you'll get some type of reward. Who can get enough of the word of Allah, the speech of Allah? Who can get enough from the medicine that's a cure for the heart, the soul, and the body? The Quran, a cure from doubts and desires. The Quran is a cure from worries, anxiety, and depression. Some people tell me, when I tell them to recite the Quran to relieve their problems, they say, well, they call me the next morning and say, well, I'm still depressed. I still got the doubts. I tell them, when a doctor gives medication, and we're talking about similar to that anti-depression medication, one of the things he says about some of them is keep taking it for 3 weeks or 4 weeks for the medicine to kick in and you get its effect. And after that, don't ever stop taking it. The Quran needs close friendship. It needs close friendship to take effect. It needs consistent, persistent dedication and recitation in order to see its effect. One of the dua of the worries in depression and anxiety that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, that no one says it except to his worries in depression will be gone and he'll be relieved of them and it will be replaced with happiness. ما أصاب المؤمن ما أصاب أحد قط هم ولا حزن فقال اللهم إني عبدك وابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاءك أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمت أحد من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no one makes that dua except his worries and his sadness and depression will go away and he'll be relieved of it and Allah will replace it with happiness in it and ease. Sheikh, your prescription is not working. Your prescription is not working. You always get that. I say, okay, brother, when's the last time you read Quran? Sheikh, you told me to read this dua, not Quran. Just tell me, when is the last time you read Quran? Well, last Ramadan, a couple years ago. I can't remember. Many days ago. Do you know an essential sentence of that dua is أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري. You're asking Allah in that dua to take your worry away, your problem, your sadness by making the Quran the spring of your heart, the brightness to your chest. I ask you by Allah, how can the dua work if the Quran is sitting collecting dust when part of your dua is replacing the anxiety with the happiness of the Quran? Of course it's not going to work. I could have told you that. The dua needs recitation of the Quran to work with it. It's a combo of medication. I know a man in prison, wallahi al-azim, they had him in solitary confinement for a long time. The psychiatrist comes by that unit to check in on the people once or twice a week. He walks by, he does his round. And they have to do it because that's an area where people snap and lose their minds frequently. When they would pass this man's cell, the psychiatrist says to him, "Do you need anything?" The man refuses to answer. And sometimes he'll say no. It amazed the psychiatrist that this man is sitting 24/7 on a good day, 23/7. And when the psychiatrist passes by, the inmates run to the window, that little window. It's nice to lay your eyes on a human walking. That's a beautiful sight when you haven't seen that for years. It's nice to merely say hi and bye to another human being. To see something other than your four walls. And this person is sitting content, happy, doesn't even look at the window. The psychiatrist was amazed. "Why are you so happy and at ease? You never ask for anything." He told the psychiatrist, "I got my best friend," and the Quran was right next to him. He showed him the Quran. For one who understands what the Quran is, what else do you need? You need someone to talk to? Would you rather talk to creation and not the creator? If you want the miraculous effect of the Quran to take place, befriend it. Befriend it. Befriend the Quran so it'll be a means of cure for all ailments, spiritual and otherwise, and raising of your ranks, which is the most important. Befriend the Quran if you want to understand it. Friends never share secrets until they get very well acquainted. Then they begin to exchange gifts. Then secrets take place and you exchange secrets. Then they begin to console and comfort each other. Begin to friend the Quran so you can see its miraculous effects and benefits. Wallahi al-azim, there's not a friend you can befriend better than the friendship of the Quran. If you're lonely, head to the Quran. If you're sad, open the Quran. If you're depressed, listen and read the Quran. It's a cure for that and more. If you're happy, read the Quran, your way of thinking of Allah. وَلَنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. What more do you want from friendship that will land you to paradise and firdaus? Recite and elevate. Recite and ascend. The elevator of the Quran that will land you in your final and ultimate destiny. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says harsh words about this. He says, whoever the Quran does not cure, may Allah not cure him. And whoever the Quran is not sufficient, may nothing be sufficient for him. من لم يشفه القرآن فلا شفاء له. ومن لم يكفه القرآن فلا كفاه الله. It's Ramadan now. It's still not late, even though some days pass by in Ramadan. Roll up your sleeve. Take an oath and begin a new friendship with this friendly book, the Quran, the abandoned book. Wallahi al-azim, there's no contact you can add to your iPhone better than downloading the text and audio of the word of Allah. When you need someone to talk to, and you're looking at your contacts, go to the Quran and listen to it and recite it. As Zuhri said, the month of Ramadan is the month of recitation. It's the month of feeding the poor. Those two things, there's no third to them. This is the month. In this month, al-Shafi'i used to recite the Quran 60 times. When Ramadan came, it was described that Imam Ahmad sits in the masjid and constantly reads Quran. They said all we see him doing is making wudu outside and returning to read Quran and making his salah. Abu al-Qasim ibn Asakir said in every day of his last 10 days, he would finish the Quran every single day. That's other than what he reads in Salah. That's different. Malik abandons all his classes in the Hadith class to recite Quran. Quran in Ramadan was something they got closer to Allah with. It was thing they deemed the closest that gets you to Allah, not even teaching hadith. They valued and know what شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ meant. Keep in mind, we mentioned these supreme examples as we always do. No one, most can't do that. It's possible, but most can't do it. But we mentioned that, so if one does a small percentage of what these men do, you'll be among the successful بِإِذْنِهِ تَعَالَى. We always look at those above us in matters of deen, and we look at those below us in matter of dunya. Also, don't get inspired and say tonight, Allah, I'm going to go try to do what a Shafi'i did, rahimahullah, and read the Quran twice. It's not appropriate for you to go and do a lump sum that's going to stop you from finishing and continuing on. In the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved deeds to Allah are that which continue, even if they're little. Start off by what you can do. Maybe a few verses, maybe a page, maybe a juzuk, maybe a few juzuk. Whatever you know, you can continue. Not just for Ramadan, for after Ramadan. Then you will see over time what an addiction the Quran is. And then over time, you're going to see that you need to up the dosage of the Quran little by little. Take advantage in what's left of Ramadan. It's not too late. It's only a matter of days and nights before they mention our names and say, may Allah have mercy on him. We don't know if we'll live until next Ramadan. Hop on that elevator. Befriend that loyal friend. Cling on to the rope of Allah, the Quran. May Allah make the Quran the spring and delight of your heart and means of granting you firdaus. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakumullahu khayran.